It was never a path I planned because I got a job. I want to make some money for a year and then I wanted to travel, but it's just hard to quit when you get a job, you know. It, like, life takes you here.
Hi everyone, welcome back to You're Not Alone, the H1B Talk podcast. I'm your host, Rosemary. Today, our guest is Ning, my good friend. She has multiple identities, I have to say. She is a professor in HR and organizational behavior. She's also a mom of two boys, and she's also a coffee shop owner and a Q grader. So we're gonna have Ning to introduce herself to our audience.
Hello everyone. That's very good introduction already.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just a busy mom with other
Very
roles.
busy. Wow. I can't imagine how you know, like do this every day.
Yeah, but I'm learning to take care of myself now.
That's great. And Ning was also an international student when she first came to the US. So, Ning, do you want to share with us your maybe like academic journey a little bit?
Yeah, I came here to US in 2011, right after my undergrad. So, it was never a path I planned, but there were so many friends around me that were preparing GRE and TOEFL tests, and they were planning to go study abroad. And I just felt like I was left alone if I don't
Oh,
do it.
so you just joined them
Yeah,
and preparing for GRE.
so yeah, purely preparing for GRE because all my friends were doing it. Yeah. And then got the opportunity to apply for the PhD program in IO psychology and got in and came here. Yeah.
And then just stay here like till 2024.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, since 2011.
Wow. You
Yeah.
know how like every time when I interview a friend for the reason that they're coming to the US, it's like very different. Like I had a friend who came here simply because she wanted to go to Disney. But she has been here since like 2009, so like even longer than you do.
Yeah, is she going to Disney after now?
Yeah, she is.
That's
She
good.
is.
I had one of my cohort, she loves Disney and she got an intern at
Oh,
Disney.
wow. Okay. Karen, this message is for you. Maybe apply for a job at Disney, okay?
Yeah, I didn't have much, you know, imagination or planning for this, but yeah, life just happened.
I think, you know, like sometimes when you experience like certain stuff, you just want life to unfold itself for you. And then, because you mentioned that you didn't plan anything, like this is not a path that you imagined, but what made you want to, you know, like stay here in the US?
Because I got a job, I want to make some money for a year and then I wanted to travel, but it's just hard to quit when you get a job, you know. It, like life takes you here. So when I was in undergrad, I was not the top student, you know. We have friends that like, you know, she's gonna go to academic for sure, but she end up in the field. Like it's
And
life,
then you were the completely opposite. Like no one expected you to be in like, you know, like academia, but like, oh, here is Professor Ho.
Exactly. I couldn't imagine this either. I was never a top student.
But who cares, right? Who cares, right? Like being a top performing student doesn't mean that you can be a good professor, I have to say. Like maybe like grades, like being able to, you know, like I think being able to communicate clearly, effectively with your students sometimes like is more important because like you're not only teaching them like the knowledge but also like skills as well.
Yeah, exactly. But also the people around you kind of push you to this way, you know. The reason I got in a PhD program is because my parents can't support me financially, and this is the only way I can study abroad to get in a PhD program. Because they pay for your tuition, they pay some.
They have stipends.
Yeah, and then I was kind of tired of doing research, and I was looking for interns, and I got in the finalists for some of the top interns, like applied in IO psychology.
Whoa.
And at the reference checking stage, my professor just told them she needs to go to academics. So that's why
Wow, so kind of like your professor helped you like chose the route to go. Do you know why like the professor told them this? Is it because like they see like some potentials in you for like academia?
No, I don't know. Just the sense of control, I guess.
Okay, that's quite interesting, you know how like it's not like because you wanted to go into the field, but someone actually shifted your path. So like right now you're in academia. But like I think every time when I talk to you about like teaching and then you know your students, you always seem like so happy about it. So like do you like have you been enjoying this whole process?
Yeah, when I'm assigned to the class, I'm not happy, but when I start teaching it, I love it every time. I
Oh,
build a
okay.
good relationship with my students. I have smaller classes, so I'm able to, you know.
So there's like more engagement between students and you.
Yes. And I try to get to know every student. And I like to do projects with the students so they feel the sense of achievement and, you know. I want each of them to feel to become the area of expertise in something. So for master level classes, I don't normally lecture everything. Students are the one that they have to be responsible for things, and they have to be the one that create the cases, and they have to be the one that, you know, lead some of the projects
Yeah, you're
themselves.
kind of like prepping them for the workforce, like in the future. Because like when you're actually in like a work setting, like you do need to, you know, like take initiatives, like take on projects and then like own them and then feel, you know, like pride about it.
And it's good to see how you can have an impact on your students. So I had a class in 2022, and then I had eight students in my class. Two of them, in the PhD program now,
Ooh. Okay.
in the
Are
related
you
field.
gonna be like your former professor to tell them, oh,
No,
like they're suitable for academia? I think
no.
you're more like, you know, like let students to discover more about themselves and then make their own calls.
And I think at a college level, teaching is not about feeding them anything. It's a way for them to get interested in a topic so they can explore themselves.
Yeah, it's kind of like set up a framework for them and then they can fill up the content themselves. Okay. You know how like my podcast has always been around this topic, H1B? And then it's because like most of the friends around me, they're, you know, like they're coming to the US for school and then after graduation, they wanted to find a job. But I also have, you know, like a smaller portion of friends who, you know, like are going to the PhD program and then after they graduate, they might, you know, like you did, it's like finding a teaching role or like research role at a university. So I was wondering, like, how did you come about like the status when you are, you know, like choosing this route?
Oh, I didn't know about the benefits of working at a
You
university.
didn't know? Well, now you know it's time to, you know, like explain the process to my audience.
When I look back, it's not a bad choice. But when I was graduating, as I mentioned, I wanted to go to the field. I was interested in becoming a consultant or some sort
Ooh,
of things.
it's very competitive.
A lot of my American local cohorts did get into consulting, and so that's what I wanted to do, but it was competitive to get a position, so I didn't get into any position. And besides, when you graduate the last year for your PhD program, academic jobs are always first. So the deadline to apply is always earlier.
Oh, okay.
So after I failed to get some of the interns, I started looking for like assistant professor positions. And then this was also a way for me to push my professor to let me graduate.
Yeah, that's a great strategy, my fellow PhD students. If you
Yeah.
wanna, like graduate on time, you can maybe let your professor know, oh, I'm looking for like, assistant professor or like those like jobs, and then they need me to, submit the applications.
Yeah, I guess my major professor, he had very high expectation on me, and he wanted me to stay one more year, the 6 year in PhD program, so I can have something published to get a better position.
Oh,
But I
okay.
was just eager to graduate. And then, yeah, so getting a job offer was the best way to make sure to shut them up. Like, you know, I got a job already. You
Yeah, you
can't
have to
hold.
let me go.
Yeah. And besides, all my other committee members are very supportive, you know,
Oh, that's
along the way.
nice.
Yeah. And then, so I had different job offers, and then I had a choice because some of them would have midterm evaluations, like you work for 3 years first, and then they would decide if they apply for H1B for you or something. I don't remember exactly, but the university I chose, they apply for my H1B right away, so I didn't even use my OPT.
Oh, wow. That's, the best case scenario, everyone. It's
Yeah.
like, and then I think the funny part about this is like Ning wasn't aware of any of
Yeah.
like the status problems at all.
Yeah, and the reason I didn't apply for OPT was because I had to pay for my own OPT. I was trying to save money, but there were some benefits of using the OPT, tax wise, and also when I give birth to the babies, I realized the longer I had my H1B, the better for the status of the babies. I wanted to hold my H1B longer. I actually wanted the university to renew my H1B, but they didn't. Yeah, so when you give birth to a baby, if you still hold H1B visa, they can apply for Chinese document and US document. So they have the choice. When they're 18, they can choose. But my second baby was born right after my H1B expired. So he had to only choose American citizen. Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult because I don't know where I will be in the future. There is a possibility I want the kids to study sometime in China. And then my older son had choice, at
Yeah,
least
so
he.
you also want to provide the same choices
Yeah.
for your second boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, there are pros and cons for all the choices, all the
Of
things
course,
happening.
so like whatever you choose, you might regret in the future. So sometimes, just like go ahead and choose, 'cause like no decision is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. But when I graduated from my PhD program, I already knew what I want. I don't want to be competitive. Like, the graduate PhD program was very, very competitive. And
For
I didn't
sure.
like it. I didn't enjoy it at all. So when I had an offer of a research university and a teaching university, I already knew I don't want to go to research university. Even when you went to the interview, you already see how competitive it is. You know.
They probably asked, like a bunch of questions that made you reflect, oh, this is definitely not somewhere that I want to, like go spend like 10 or 20 years of my life in.
Yeah, when you did your research talk, you can see they are challenging you already,
Oh,
you
okay.
know. And also every year the job market, the median pay is different, and they always offer the newly hired professor a little bit higher pay. And I can already see, like, if I got in the last and I got paid higher than some of even the associate professor, then I know I'm not gonna have a good life. That one is in psychology, and I know psychology department is always competitive. And the one I chose is in business school, that everybody makes good money already. And all the faculty in the department were way more senior than me. There was no competition. Everyone is just trying to help you and take care of you. So
That's great.
It was a no brain. Like it
Yeah,
was
for
just
sure.
you
'Cause
know.
you already know like what you wanted, so it was like a easy choice. All right, we've talked, like a lot about your role as a professor. I think now we can shift the gear a little bit to talk about, like your daily life. You're a mom of two boys and then also managing a coffee shop. And then recently you did the Q grader test and then you passed. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I think like when you are having, like so many roles, wearing so many hats as a woman, like how do you manage your time and then how do you manage your energy?
Just prioritize things. You know, there were times where I think teaching is the most important. And then there are times when there are so many changes at the university and that, you know, you just lost interest in some things. I mean, when I was working, since COVID started, there had been a lot of changes at my university. And there were a lot more online classes, and I took the lead to design some of the online classes, and I enjoyed designing it as well. But when the opportunity came to actually start our own business, to start our first physical location as a coffee shop, I put that down into lower priority, and I put the teaching into lower priority and just put
Just
my
focus
energy.
on the coffee shop.
I think my personality is just like, I want to experience different things. And I have always felt that I went to the teaching role directly after graduate school. I've never actually had any real job experience, work experience, business experience. And I want to be a better, you know, business professor. So I have to experience it myself. Even if it's not a successful business, then it's an experience I can share as well.
I like how you mentioned that, like you want to be a better professor, like teaching business, and then you're using your coffee shop experience as a way to, like to fill in the gap. So I think that's great that you're always making connections back to your role in teaching. So like even though you're saying, oh, I'm deprioritized my teaching and then, like in this period where I'm preparing for the coffee shop, but like in the back of your mind, you're still thinking about it. So I like how you are able to connect everything. I think that's how when you mentioned that you like to experience different things, I think all the different experience just, like make us who we are today.
I also I teach a class called labor relations, mainly talking about collective bargaining for unions. And I invite all the previous negotiators, you know, mediators, everybody who has big roles in negotiation. And then 2 years ago, when one of my colleagues asked me if I want to run for the negotiator for the university, I said yes. And I put a lot of time and effort on that as well, because I want to teach better. Because I'm teaching that class that I have never experienced it myself. You know, I was never a negotiator myself. I was never on a collective bargaining table. And yeah, it was surprising that when people asked me why I ran for this position, clearly,
Because
really hit
they
me.
didn't see the connection you were, like making in the back of your mind.
But everybody else is more of a politician. Like it's a political role and it's an important role, and everybody is, you know, they have completely different perspective
Yeah,
than me.
they have different reasons to run for the negotiator's role, but like you were thinking more for, the experience where you can use it to, to help you be better at teaching. So if you're listening and your professor holds student, this is great. You have a great professor, I have to say.
I guess I'm also like, I like to feel like I have been learning all the time as well. And I feel like teaching is the best way of learning.
Yeah, because you have to constantly like renew your knowledge to be able to, like to teach the students, because like each year, like in the industry, the trends are different, and then sometimes, oh, there are new research, and then you can incorporate all those to your teaching. Is, taking Q grader part of your teaching element too?
Probably, right? Probably in the future, maybe that's another
I think
side work I
especially,
could
like for
do.
those who want to open coffee shops, like among your students who want to open coffee shops, you definitely have, some expertise knowledge in the field of coffee to be able to pass on to them.
Yeah, and since we started the coffee shop, I added classes of components. Like I want to educate, not to educate because I'm not expert, but I want to learn together with people, to learn more about coffee with people. But I felt like I'm not that qualified to do it, and taking the Q grader is a way to,
It's a credential. It means that you've put in a lot of work in, the sensory side of coffee, and then you passed it. Yeah, it's a qualification.
And also gives me more confidence when I prepare the classes for the shop,
Yeah, for sure.
So for all the classes I did in the coffee shop, I kind of self-learned from online, online material, other coffee professionals, online videos, things like that. But I never, take a professional systematic class myself to understand how this works. When I do the tasting class in the shop, I have the Q grader, the form there, but I can't explain everything clearly,
Right, because
but
you didn't experience everything firsthand yourself, but now it's different.
yeah, now I can say that I understand how to use this form, how to,
Yeah, that's great. And then you know how like I think like nowadays being an entrepreneur is like everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, but sometimes I feel like it's hard, especially for international students and for foreigners like us. How did you like overcome those challenges? Or do you have like any pro tips that you can give out to those who want to start their own small business?
I think it's very hard. Like until now, I don't dare to give up my job to fully do the to become an entrepreneur, The reason I can do it is because I have the other foundation. I have a job that I can be very flexible. I have a part of pay that I know I can support myself even if business doesn't
Doesn't like
make money right
matter.
away. And then another important thing, I don't need to worry about my status being here. I feel like I'm very lucky to have all the foundations I had. And also, I think the system in US is very supportive in becoming an entrepreneur. Like I'm a risk taker. Like I understand that in US, even if you fail the business, you can just file a bankruptcy and then the worst scenario, 7 years, you don't have credit. And that's the worst scenario, and that's nothing to me. I don't care about that. I feel like the experience you learn, you gained doing this, outweigh
The
everything.
risks. Yeah, I think like it sounds like it's really balancing out all the pros and cons, where like think through like a process and then probably, like think through the worst case scenario, and then if you are able to accept all those, and then like once, like someone like you who thought through like the whole process, and then it's like, okay, the worst would be a bankruptcy and then no credit for 7 years, and then if you're able to put up with that, then just go ahead and make the move.
And besides that, I never felt that US is my home. I always felt
Is it
that
like
I
a
would be
testing
somewhere,
field?
could be,
Testing field for you?
because I think another foundation is I'm not committed to stay in US forever. I think we can be anywhere. Like we can start over anywhere. And if we failed here in US, then we go somewhere else and start over. I also felt that my parents are going to be supportive whatever I do, and no matter what happens. So in the back of my mind, I know that I will never lose everything, and so.
Yeah, I like that mindset because, I think there's definitely some reasons for you to be able to, like take all the risks because, like, they're risks after all, but, like, they're not, like something that can take you down. I would say. That's amazing. I like that about you, you know, like always taking risks, because I feel like for someone to be able to grow or, you know, like break out the current status quo, you have to take some amount of risks. If it's like too much, you might be, you know, like too stressed to make any like rational decisions. But if there's too little, you might just feel like so comfortable in your like current like situation and then don't want to, you know, like make any like bigger moves that you might benefit from.
And by running, you know, the coffee shop, I got the opportunity to meet a lot of people in the field. I feel like those are our resources.
That's how we met. So thanks to the coffee shop.
Right? I met so many interesting and helpful and professionals and, you know, resources, you know. So the coffee shop is less important now because the connection I made.
Yeah, the coffee shop is a platform for you to, you know, like meet all these people. And then I think one last point that I forgot to mention, Ning also has her own podcast. Do you want to talk a little bit about your podcast?
Rosemary was actually our guest first.
Yes, and now Ning is my guest.
After I moved here, I was just talking to my college friends and chatting to see opportunities for doing things project together. And then I talked to one of my college friends. She's a professor in China when, in my undergrad, Tsinghua University, where, which wow, it's a very big city. It's a significant position. And then I was just chatting with her, but then she mentioned her roommate lives in LA as well. So I just got contact with Kelly, which I know Kelly, but we were not very
Not that
close.
close.
We were a few dorms down. But then when we start talking, we realized we're neighbors. So so we had a coffee together and we want to do something together. And because she is a screenwriter, she is working with words and, you know, and I was working on something in writing as well, and we just want to do something together. And this idea just came up, and we decided to do it.
Yay, that's awesome. And then I think you have like probably more than 10 episodes right now.
Probably 15, around 15. Yeah, you know, things happen in life. We pause a little bit, but when we have people committed to do it with us, we'll keep doing it. We have one plan at the end of March or beginning of April.
Yeah, that sounds great. And then everyone check out Ning's podcast. Ning and Kelly's podcast is called Our Immigrant Life. And then I will post the link on this podcast so that you can, you know, have a listen about their stories. Because mine is, you know, like more focused on, you know, like international students' life and then career. But theirs is like one step forward because like there are people who already, you know, been living here like longer than we do. And then their stories are also, you know, like very inspiring and then very interesting to learn from.
Yeah, we were able to find a bunch of interesting people from the coffee shop and invite them
Okay, I know why you wanted to open the coffee shop now. It's more
to.
like, you know, just have a place where you can collect people. You can collect people as your, you know, like podcast content resource.
I feel like it's fun. I like to allocate resources and have people do different things together.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, because you teach HR and organizational behavior. While this part has less to do with organizational behavior, but definitely I can see this from an HR perspective is to, you know, like explore each person's potential and then to, you know, like help make things together.
I teach this classes only because that was my major, but I'm not committed to this. I'm
I
interested
know
in doing
you're not committed to just one thing in life. It's all for experiencing. We get you on that.
I wanna, so you know, I have a stable position now. Now I'm open to do the research that only I feel that's interesting now. I want to do anything that Interesting.
Okay, yeah, now you're open to research a little bit now.
Because when you're in certain field for some time and all you read about is very, very
Very narrow,
detailed, narrowed perspective, you want to get out of it.
I see that in you getting out of the comfort zone. Or I should probably put it this way. It's like expand your comfort zone because you never know what else can make you feel comfortable. Because like right now you're opened up to research. Who knows, you will become a researcher in the future, right?
But also I keep whatever everything I do, I keep in mind that this can be potentially making money for me.
Yeah, for sure, because you're also in business school. That's an important like perspective to think about. Because you wanna, like monetize some of the ideas.
Exactly. Everything has to be benefit in some way that transfer to money.
And then also like you can transfer to your students. Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Ning, for joining me in this podcast today. And then hopefully I'll release this episode before the H1B lottery results come out.
What is that?
It's supposed to be the end of this month, and I heard it's probably around like the 27th. And the latest probably, just be like 31st. And I just want to, I wish everyone good luck this year because finally there are some, like major moves because like there's only one lottery registration for one person. So hopefully that will increase the chances of everybody getting the H1B visa. But I just want to say there are also, like alternatives where you can, like maintain your status. So maybe, like what Ning did, she didn't even, like know about the benefits of H1B, but she got it. And then now she has a stable status. So I just think maybe we should probably not limit our options because like we never know how big our comfort zone is. Just, like stay open to experiences.
If you have experience here in the US, it's easy for you to get through anything in other places. Mexico,
Yeah, Mexico has really good coffee, you
maybe.
all. All right, one last question, Nate. What's your favorite coffee?
My favorite coffee for daily drinks that I can drink every day, Mexican coffee
Oh, okay.
from Chiapas, southwest of Mexico.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
Best
you.
wish to everybody.
Bye. Good luck.
Good
Please follow and subscribe to this podcast if you want to stay updated to the most recent content. You can also follow the podcast Instagram account. It's called the H1B Talk, and I sometimes share some behind the scenes and also previews of the podcast. If you want to be featured on this podcast, you can DM me on Instagram. You're listening to You're Not Alone, the H1B Talk podcast. I'm your host, Rosemary.